Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 176th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life experiences and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Burçin Kürek. She is from Istanbul, Turkey, on the Black Sea, and she grew up in a family of five, working in a family restaurant setting. She met her husband in college and came to the United States to start studying in 2017. She is in the education program, but also paints and shares her work publicly. So good to have you here, Burçin. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for having me here and welcoming me here.
When I asked you what you missed about home, you said that you missed the family and the food. And it turns out that the two are woven together as you come from a family that ran a local restaurant together. And I wondered if you would be willing to tell us about your family restaurant, what it's called, what kind of dishes you served, and all of that.
Actually, I would like to talk about the story, how my father and our restaurant became successful, if you don't mind.
I would love that.
Yeah, thank you. My father worked as a cook at the main restaurant when I was 5 and 6, and he was earning money, but it wasn't enough for our family expenses. And my mother wasn't working either because her education, she just reading and she just writing, that's all, just a basic education, and my father too. And one day, according to my mother says to me, they had a discuss about something, and then I learned my father decided to take a risk. He wants to do his own job, own business, which I really proud of him. He wants to take a risk, and he borrow really big money from his friends, and I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Yeah, I feel, you know, a little bit emotional.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a big risk.
Mm-hmm. It was a really big risk. And he just found some shop because of his friends helping. He found a shop, but a little bit small. And he bought 5 tables. 5 times 4 is 20 chairs. And he got some machines for the cooking. And he designed the pretty sweet. And a couple months later, maybe you heard that on August 17, 1999, the big earthquake occurred in Istanbul, and many people died. Almost 1,700 person died, and 24,000 people had injured, and many buildings was destroyed. Everybody just shutting out, and they slept. Also, we slept too on the street. It was a really hard time. I just remembered the crowded many people, you know, sleeping over there. They are so hungry. They are so starving. They just saw the first time over there, and they feel like, you know, oh my God, what we gonna do? We lost our buildings too. In these days, my father decided to open 24 hours that restaurant, and he didn't take an advantage of it. He sold all soup, all his food, the lower price because people's hungry, you know, what they can do. Just imagine that in Old Dutch Beach, just a one restaurant over there and many people sleeping, and what they do, they just visit that restaurant, right? And
we were 5 tables.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we were just a one restaurant around the town, which was the right time for our future, I guess. The God's gift for us. Yeah, I call that. And he opened the 24 hours with my mom, with my brother. I was just sleeping with him next to the restaurant. At least we were lucky because it happened on August. It wasn't in a winter time. So we felt like a little bit lucky. And he just saved a lot of money, and he paid his debt too. That's why many people around the town know our business, and they were feeling so good, and they said to my father, thank you so much to helping us. And there were many textile company around there, and which he was so lucky too about it. The couple months later, he was good. Everybody knew him. He was selling the food. He was happy. We were happy too. But it was a really hard time before for the other people too. Many people lost their house, their buildings. So, yeah. But it was our turning point for us. So my father became successful. Our restaurant became successful. And it took almost 15 years. And they had to shut the restaurant because of my father's health and my mother's health. It was kind of that story, which I talk about the food at the restaurant. My father worked as a cook, and my mother was washing the dishes, and my big brother was serving at the restaurant when he has spare time, because he were going to high school, and I was raising my little brother over there in my home. And a lot of famous Turkish food, everybody loves that. And he was cooking kuru fasulye pilav, which means beans and rice. Nobody wants to eat just separated. Like, nobody wants to eat just a bean or just a rice. It's kind of couple. It's kind of little and sister.
They need each other.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, you don't want to eat just a burger without French fries, right? Everybody wants that. Yeah, it's kind of that relationship with kuru fasulye and pilav, I mean, bean and rice. And he was cooking meatball, kebab, some dessert. Yeah, if somebody interested what we were cooking, they can contact me by email so I can send the picture and I can tell the recipe of that. They are really delicious and the taste is really international. Everybody can love it. Yeah.
I have a few pictures that you sent me of these foods, and I will upload them on newmainerspeak.com later for people if they want to see this food. And I think they might be more interested in the recipes if you see the yumminess in these pictures.
It looks like kind of art, you know. You're having a hard time. Maybe you're spending 2 hours, but if my father sees the customers satisfying, he was be happy.
And that's payment enough, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, that's all. He didn't care the money at all. He was just doing his job and he followed his dream, and that's why he became a successful person, and I really admire him. Yeah, I just want to follow his dream, how he became successful. Yeah, I just want
to
be my father.
He listened to his heart, and then he took a big risk.
Yeah.
And he went to other people and used their money and then was able to pay them back.
Yeah, exactly.
That must feel so good to him to have made a difference in his town in time of crisis, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when I was a child, my father says, like, we were living in a really poor house. We didn't have even a door, so we didn't even take a shower. My mom, oh my God, she is lovely. You know, she just took care of herself, and she was living in her family in a rich way, but she got married and something happened bad. But he never said, I'm complaining about we don't have money. She just always has a patience, and she was always praying, and that's where we are.
Grace, isn't it?
Yeah.
To lose quite a lot and yet make the best of what you have.
Yeah, exactly.
She sounds like a lovely person.
Yeah, I feel so happy when I have. Yeah.
Yeah, you have a beautiful family. Mm-hmm. What's the name of the restaurant your parents ran together?
My father's name. We decided that and we said, okay, let's put your name. My father's name is Yüksel. Actually, it means rise up.
Does it really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm so struck by what people's names mean and how they then live that out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind of that. And Yüksel Yemek ve Köfte Salonu, it means rise up, food and the restaurant. Yeah, kind of that.
No wonder it was a success.
Mm-hmm.
So you're Istanbul.
Yeah.
How do you describe it so that people can imagine your life there when you were a girl? You've said you didn't have a door. Mm-hmm. After the earthquake, you slept on the streets. What else can you tell us about Istanbul that most people don't know and probably should?
Yeah, many people were just thinking about our country on a desert. So, which is not true, because I was working in the international company and I was welcoming the many people from India, from England, and kind of that country, and they were telling, "Oh my God, I'm so shocked! You are not on a desert." And I said, "No, of course not. You're not reading. Just please, little bit search before you come here."
Yes, really, you can Google a picture of Istanbul, and you'll know you're not in the desert.
Yeah, and everybody told us like there are many camels over there, and you know they just men and women always cover their body. It wasn't like that. Yeah, we are Republic of Turkey and we can wear whatever we want to do. Yeah, everybody decide. It depends on how they feel. So in Istanbul you can see the many mosques, many pubs. Yeah, although we are living in a Muslim country, 90% of the population, ladies don't have to wear the hijab or the cover their body. It just depends that I told you right now.
More choice about how you want to express modesty.
Yeah, we are just free whatever we want to wear because my mom covers her body and wearing the hijab, but I'm not. So this is my choice.
And that's okay with her that you wear a hijab?
Yeah, she never was the rudest person. She was always nice. She said to me like, "Do whatever you want to do in your life. This is your life. I cannot tell like you shouldn't do that or you should do that. This is your life. Why am I gonna just giving an order in your life?"
Do you see a trend where more young people are not wearing hijab or where they are? Now, are young people in Turkey wearing less or more hijabs, you think?
Right now, I think they are wearing more hijabs right now. I cannot tell giving the percent like 40% or 50%, but in these days, I can see the people like wearing more hijab, the new generation, because of our high school became like a religion school. That's why the government teaching us the more Islamic stuff. So maybe that's why ladies wants to think, yeah, I should wear the hijab or something.
Yes, under new leadership, it's become more conservative. Mm-hmm. So more hijabs now, but still a choice.
Uh-huh, exactly. Yeah.
I see. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Burçin Kurik. She is an education student at SMCC, Southern Maine Community College, and also loves to paint. Her painting can be seen right now on this show's Facebook page, facebook.com/newmainersspeak, if you want to look at them while we speak. They are bright and colorful and wildly fun. I just love your art. Burçin, could you tell us a little history on your painting? When did you start painting and how did you get so great?
Thank you so much. I just started painting with my assignment from my teacher in the middle school. I was just doing like, yeah, this is my assignment, so I should finish that. When I finished that and when I look my painting, I look, yeah, you can do that painting. And I was feeling the good when I finished my job. I was proud of myself. And, you know, my age around was 12 or 13 in the middle school. So I start, but I always waited my mood. So I'm not telling like every week I'm painting. So I'm just waiting my mood. Maybe sometimes I'm listening the music, so which gives me some inspire. So, okay, let's paint something. And it took more than 2 weeks because I focused every detail of my painting. I want them to be perfect. So I'm just doing it. Oh, yeah, did it. Thank you. And I say to myself, thank you. You did a great job. So I forget the paintings, and a couple years later, I decide again to paint. And the most time, the last semester, was the most paint I've ever met. Oh my God, maybe more than 20. Then my teacher, if he listens to me, Jeffrey Badger, and he was giving us every week, like, you should do that, the black and white assignment and the colorful, the
composition.
Yeah, exactly, composition. So I did more than 20, and I said, oh my God, what I did.
Very productive season.
Yeah, exactly. It was like that.
Yeah. So who inspires you as an artist? Do you have favorite?
Yeah, Salvador Dali. Ah. Oh my God, I love his everything, you know, his technique, his brush strokes, his color, his composition. Yeah, I wish I could paint like him. Yeah, I know it's impossible, but his imagination extraordinary. I don't know what to tell about him, but he is amazing.
His work is like looking at your own dream, yeah, illustrated.
Yeah, exactly. And he knows that really good. So when I just looking his painting, I feel like, oh my God, what he was thinking about during his painting. So, you know, he was just paint like a sun, kind of as an egg. And I love that. Oh my God, how he has kind of this imagination. So I'm feeling after that, oh my God, I'm not thinking too much. I should think more. So I should dream a lot. So I'm not enough yet. He's extraordinary. Yeah.
He is. He is. And your imagination really comes through in your art as well. You have a kind of dream cityscape against a giant rainbow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. A glittery fiction.
Mm-hmm. Thank
kind
you
of
so
fictional
much.
Cityscape.
Yeah. 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 I love that too. Yeah. I was proud of my painting.
Good.
Yeah. It was really good. And
It's fresh and different.
Mm-hmm. The colorful, you know. I don't like the black and white. I really respect who wants to paint black and white, but this is not my style. I just want to show from my heart what I feel.
Your hair is purple.
Yeah, right now.
Clearly not a black and white lover.
Exactly.
So I wonder if you could also explain how religion factors into your worldview. You mentioned a little bit about the choices that you get to make as a woman in Turkey, but how does religion play into your heart and into your life?
Mm-hmm. Firstly, I would like to give an example about my life. I was living with my family, non-rich neighborhood, and I was...
In a poor neighborhood.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Poor neighborhood. And I was working in a rich neighborhood at my job. It was like that. And, you know, and I have to be more careful when I was going on the street to reaching the subway. I was looking down, the people was looking at me, but you know, I was working as a receptionist at the international company, which I have to really take care of my dress and my makeup too. But when you living in a poor neighborhood, which means there are many people uneducated and they always thinking everything is related with the religion, so which is I don't agree. And you know, I was praying all the way, like walking on the street, like, God, please, no one looks at me. God, please, no one gonna tell me anything bad. And I was heading out from my home around 7:20, and nobody was on the street, just a couple men. So I was wearing the jacket or covering my legs until I reached my job in the rich neighborhood. And I was feeling okay. It's all about getting education, I guess, the religion too. Because, you know, uneducated people doesn't read and they just believe the being Muslim, but the being Muslim is not just the killing people. Yeah, I heard many TV series, the Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and on the phone, Instagram. It's showing us the Middle East. Yeah, there is a war Middle East right now. We know that, and I feel so sorry about the children, the people. It says on the television, like, many terrorists killed the people and children and older people, doesn't matter. They're just killing. And they show to us like terrorists are a Muslim. So I felt like, how is that possible? So even they feel like they are Muslim, I don't think they are Muslim. they just follow one or a couple leaders and they just listen what he order. If he says, just go and get him down, just go and kill the children, they're not questioning about that, why I'm killing the children. They're just shooting the gun, you know. This is really bad.
This is not your Islam.
Yeah, exactly. That's why if listeners listening to me, so I would like to tell them this is not the being Muslim. In Quran, yeah, I would like to tell the really important information about my country too. The 90% of the population in my country are Muslim. And the Quran's original deal is original language is Arabic. So our language is Turkish, so we have to translate and we have to read the Quran. If we are Muslim, we should finish the Quran, what it says, what God tell us, what he ordered. So the 50% of the population didn't read the Quran. Even my friends do. They just feel like being Muslim, oh my God, every terrorist killing the people and this is the Muslim. So I'm asking them, did you read the Quran? Did you finish? Did you understand the sentences of the Quran? They say, no. So how you can judge the being Muslim, you know, even you are Muslim? And it's failed the other books too, the Bible, the Psalter. Every book says to being good person. And in Quran too, I didn't finish the Bible. I would like to read one day too. This is my plan, the near future plan. So I really wonder what people, what God tells us. So in Quran, I can tell that help people, help homeless people, help children, even love more children who doesn't have father, who doesn't have mother. So protect the earth, protect the your family. Don't gossip, don't mess up with your friends or whoever you see on the street or whatever, because you never know the reason exactly what happened to them. Yeah.
So your book, the Quran, mm-hmm. is kind of a guide to kindness, a guide to how
exactly.
to live together.
Yeah.
And
in
yet
Bible
you're
too.
Concerned people mm-hmm. haven't read it, and
yeah.
then they just are easily led down a different path.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel really sorry about that. Yeah, we are ready to believe the information we heard in the first time. We're not judging, you know. When I see some information on Facebook, on other social media, I shouldn't think like, yeah, this is true. How I can know this is true? So Hazrat Muhammad, who is the prophet of the Islam, he says like, you shouldn't believe anything unless you see in your eyes. Even you see in your eyes, you should get a couple witnesses this has happened or something. So the Quran says always be a kind person. Don't gossip, don't lie, don't play a card or something on the casino, which is not really good for our health too. Don't drink alcohol. There is always reason, but we are just judging people. We're just saying, yeah, terrorists are Muslim. They are not Muslim. I'm telling that. And Muslims are lying. Yeah, you are Muslim because you deserve that. Judging people everywhere is the judging people. So
it's dangerous to judge people.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
not enough information.
Yeah. They are. Yeah, I'm sorry. So they just, you know. Yeah, I would like to tell a lot of things about that, but, you know.
I think you speak very clearly to it.
Yeah, thank
not
you so
everybody
much.
From one religion
yeah, I'm not
takes away the same uh-huh. lessons. And the ones you've taken from the Quran are about kindness and
yeah.
love and generosity.
Yeah.
And that's your Islam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure the Bible says, too, just a being good person, the other books, too. I'm not just protecting the Quran. I'm just telling every book we should read it. We should search if we are not make sure about some sentences or whatever we're watching on the TV, or it can be anything.
Yes.
We should search more and more until we became like, yeah, this is I believe. So this is makes sense until we say that sentences to us.
It's a good rule to have mm-hmm. in modern life to make yeah. sure that the information you're quoting is true.
Yeah.
You're a smart woman.
Thank you.
I'm sure your teachers love that. When we met before, you said you wanted to be sure to tell all listeners, don't be afraid to take a risk.
Yeah.
I wondered if you could say a little bit more about that before we close.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because of my father, I already told you the story, how mm-hmm. he became a successful. And I'm thinking like, you know, we have just one life. And if we take a risk, what we gonna get the result? We just gonna win or we just gonna lose? If we lose, what's gonna happen? We just gonna say like, at least I tried that, and we feel more comfortable, you know. The next time we just gonna try, yeah, okay, I failed it, but I'm gonna try the next step too. I deserve that. We all deserve. We all important person in the earth. That's why the God sent us as a human. So we have brain, we can think, we can see, we can touch, we can do whatever we want. We are free to go, you know. But we shouldn't just put limits in our minds. If you want to do something, just do it.
Be brave enough to go ahead and rise up.
Yeah.
Just like your dad.
Yeah.
I love how your story comes full circle.
Thank you
and
so
you
much.
And you certainly have been brave to learn English and come to the United States. You've come twice, once to mm-hmm. work in a summer program, and again here as an adult to study.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of courage, too. You're away from mm-hmm. your loved ones, and you're here to help be an ambassador so we can understand mm-hmm. your art and your joys and also your religion.
Yeah, exactly. I love that. And you know, one door's open, always another door's if you fail too.
Yes. Sometimes mm-hmm. it just means not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. We have to wait the right on time. That's all. It's going to come soon. Maybe we just feeling the bad stuff and feeling the bad, but it's okay. If you're feeling good, if you're just following your dream, if you just dream your, you know, job that you love to, it's gonna come soon. Maybe soon, maybe later, but it's gonna come. At least you're just gonna feel the good. That's all. You're just gonna imagine, yeah, what you are doing right now, and you are having fun with your dream, you know. That kind of that thing.
I think that's great. You have a warm heart, Bertin, and you're
you.
A delightful person to be around. You're so hopeful and grateful.
Thank
curious
you so much.
And willing to say yes. You say yes to all of the adventures that life offers you, and I wish you all the best with your studies and your art. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. Thank you.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Bertin has selected for us. Wonder if you can tell us quickly about why you chose this song and what it's called, and we will start.
Yeah, the lyrics is really good. If somebody Google the name of the song, they're gonna love it. And it's really a happy song. When you start the listening, you're gonna realize that, oh my God, it's so fancy. I just want to dance right here. It's kind of that song. So
it does invite you to dance. Yeah. It's called Athena.
Mm-hmm,
or is Athena. The group Athena?
Yeah, group Athena.
And what's the name of the song?
Everything's gonna be all right.
Love it. Perfect song for you.
Yeah.
Yalan dolan, sahtekarlık yapmadan yaşa.